Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 to 30. And I read this last week. I should say we read it together last week. Starting in verse 29, Jesus said this, "All of you take up my yoke and learn from me." Now, I'm going to do this. I know everybody in here knows what a yoke is, because all of you have been on a farm, and all of you plowed your field with a horse, right? Or an ox. Bill, isn't that how you used to plow a field? Oh, you're not that old, are you?
No.
Your dad had a tractor, didn't he?
Yeah, I decided after I got the Terminator to go back to the old one.
A yoke, of course, is that harness, and maybe you've seen them before, pictures of them, and it's that harness that goes over a horse or an ox, a mule or whatever you're using to pull a plow, and then it's supposedly comfortable for the animal, and but then the lines pulling the plow are hooked up to that yoke. Jesus said, "Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart." So I kind of look at Jesus as being that person behind the yoke, and he's gentle with it. He's not trying to hurt us with that, with the yoke that kind of keeps us in line. It keeps us with the controls to the master. He's gentle and humble in heart. He's not prideful, thinking, "Oh, I'm going to steer you all over creation." He said, "No, I'm going to keep you on a straight path." And it says, "And you will find rest for yourselves." Then he explains, "For my yoke is easy." It really is comfortable. "And my burden is light." Compared to any other burden you can have, the burden that Jesus gives us is light. And we talked about last week of trading our burden for his. We discussed the fact that discouragement does not have a place within the life of a true believer. It doesn't mean we won't be at times discouraged, but we need to recognize it, we need to admit it, we need to take those thoughts captive, and we need to give that burden that causes us to be discouraged to Jesus and trade it for his burden. His burden is simple. Get your eyes off of you and get it on others. That's Jesus' burden. And you'll find when you have your eyes on others, your burden isn't heavy. I had the privilege of serving as a staff pastor under Dr. Bob Sizemore. And some of you know him. He's preached here before. Now, I don't know if he would mind me saying this or not. I didn't ask him for permission on this, but I don't think he'll mind. Bob Sizemore has been suffering with Parkinson's disease ever since I've known him. And he's an athletic man. He was almost heading towards being, I believe, close to professional baseball at one time. And, you know, he's an excellent golfer. And you can imagine Parkinson's really shuts the ability to do some of those things down, you know? And I'll never forget, he used to tell me, he said, "Kurt, I love going to the hospital and visiting people." I said, "What? Really? Why?" He said, "Because it's so encouraging to me." I said, "What?" He said, "Because I always, when I go there, I can bless someone else, and I go away realizing my problems aren't so big. My issues aren't so bad." He learned that when he put his mind and his efforts towards others, discouragement went out the window. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Jesus said, "My burden is light." His burden is to love people, to love in Jesus. I want to be here today to encourage the body of Zora Baptist Church. Whether you're visiting with us, whether you're a regular attender, whether you're a member, I want to encourage you today, and I'm going to do it in a way that most people aren't encouraged, because no one loves numbers. But I want to do it through statistics. Can I do that with you a moment? Now for you mathematicians, Ms. Critchfield, you might enjoy this. First, I want to talk about our finances here. If you didn't know, I'll let you know. Zora Baptist Church, we're struggling on a month-to-month basis. We're struggling to meet our actual outgo. We're not talking about meet our budget, but meet our actual outgo. We are. Now, we can get discouraged about that, and I was talking to Wayne this morning. You know what? That's the number one discouragement in a church. It's when the finances are a struggle. It's the number one reason for divorce in the United States, finances. Did you know that? To me, then, it's the number one reason if you're struggling with your finances, we need to look to God. We don't need to look at each other. We don't need to toss blame around here, there. It doesn't matter. We look to God. Now, I want to point something out, though. One of our finance committee members did a neat little thing, went back to 2005. And from 2005 to present day, went quarter by quarter looking at our actual income. And did you know from 2005 to today, quarter by quarter, our income has been almost exactly the same, give or take $100 or $200. Every quarter. So the problem is inflation. And, you know, more expenses. That's part of the problem. Now, I want also to encourage you with, our finance committee takes it very seriously. Not just finances, but stewardship. Stewardship, very, very seriously. And they're working on a plan. They're working on a plan to help bring more awareness to you of where we are financially, and to challenge the congregation in not just money, but stewardship things, to help us change that trend. So I want to encourage you with that. It's not just a blind eye being turned. And there are some things, sometimes money has to be spent so money can be made. And I hate to throw all those things out, but that has to happen. Now, the sermon isn't about this, by the way. These are just some things to help encourage us. The second thing is attendance. Now, statisticians have told us in the past that if a church has 10% growth in attendance in a year, they are among the healthiest churches in America. Did you know that? This year, here at Zora Baptist Church, from first quarter, that is January through March, to the end of third quarter, which is July through September, Zora Baptist Church has had an average attendance growth of 20%. Yeah. Now, the problem is we get stuck by trees. The trees would be each individual Sunday. And sometimes we see one Sunday with real low attendance, another Sunday with great, better attendance, and so forth. We get stuck by the trees. We don't necessarily want to see the forest. It's hard to do. Pull ourselves back and look at the forest of the real picture. Every church experiences slumps, especially in the summer, due to children and summer break. Vacations happen then. Well, Zora Baptist Church, most of you have children that are no longer at home. So, Zora Baptist Church, our slump comes at the end of summer, beginning of fall, because the weather's still nice, the hotels are a little cheaper, and there aren't a bunch of kids around. And so, we've experienced a lot of travel. But here's what I want to encourage you with. The statistic for churches gaining regular attenders, listen to this, the statistics for churches gaining regular attenders from those who visit the church is about 1.5%. 1.5% of those that visit a church will actually become a regular attender. Wow. Since January, Zor has had 14 couples. We're not talking about individual people. 14 couples or families visit the church and fill out a welcome card. We've had others that have come and not filled out a welcome card. From that 14, two of the couples/families have become regular attenders since January. That is a whopping 15% of those visiting Zora Baptist Church since January have become regular attenders. So if you take that 20% and that 15% and you average those out, we have a solid 17.5% growth in regular attendance from January of 2017 through September of 2017. So let's not get down in the mouth. when we see a little slump coming on. And I'm not saying that to you, I'm saying that to me. Because pastors get it worse than anybody. Just go to a pastor's conference with me, you'll find it out. Okay? So this is more for me, maybe, than anybody. God is good. All the time and all the time, anybody?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, we got a bunch of Baptists here. I'll tell you what. God is good all the time, and the answer is, all the time, God is good. So God is good all the time, and all the time...
God is good.
Let's try it. God is good all the time, and all the time...
God is good.
And God is good here at Zohar Baptist Church. You see, Satan has a desire to make us ineffective. And he knows that if he can get a church or individual to be discouraged, they will become ineffective for him. How can we love people to loving Jesus when we're discouraged ourselves? We can't. So let's not fall into that trap that Satan tries to build. But the question is, all right, Pastor, these are great things, but how do we continue to see growth at Zohar Baptist Church? In this body, how do we continue to see it? Well, that's what this sermon today is starting. We'll start a little series called Fishers of Men. You see, so far we've seen growth mainly because, not completely, but mainly because a transfer of, we'll call it, if we call fishers of men, let's talk about bodies of water. And some churches grow because they transfer fish from one aquarium to another aquarium. You know what? That's not the kind of growth we want to always have. Sometimes we need that. And I think we've had some of that. And it's been beautiful. Doesn't mean we won't have some more. But the best growth from that point is actually fishing where the fish are. Lakes and rivers. Might even be able to head to the ocean of men to fish. We are to be fishermen. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I pray that you're honored and glorified, that you're lifted up. And today, Lord, we need your encouragement. We need you to spur us, put that fire under our feet, to be about your business of loving people, to loving Jesus. Let us not allow Satan to discourage us, to start pointing fingers and blame that has no place in the body of Christ. But may we together seek you and then seek others to seeking you by loving them. May we be started on our journey today from your word. Holy Spirit, speak through me, to me, and to this congregation, in the name of Jesus, our precious Lord and Savior. Amen. I ask that you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul was a man that was solely concerned with the souls of men and women. So much so, he was willing to suffer anything, even to the point of terrific, terrible, torturous death, if it would cause others to come to Jesus. He suffered beatings. He suffered stonings. He suffered ridicule. He suffered imprisonment. Eventually, he was beheaded. All for the cause of the gospel going out to others. He himself said, these are my words paraphrasing what he said, if I could give up my own salvation, in other words, suffer eternity in hell, and that would be the cause for all of Israel to come to Jesus, sign me up. Wow! That's huge. I mean, that's not like giving up my life. That's not like giving up my house or my family or anything. Giving up, if he knew it wasn't possible, I'm glad for that. Maybe that's why he could say it, I don't know. But But he said, and I believe with all sincerity, because his life proved it, if he could give up even his own eternity for the salvation of his brothers and sisters that made up Israel, he would have done it. That's love. Then I think of God loving the world so much that he sent his Son, not just for Israel, but for everyone. I can't imagine that love. Jesus giving up his own life, giving up being God for our salvation. Incomprehensible. And so we come to the scripture of Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 11. Paul writes this. He says, "Now the scripture says, everyone who believes on Jesus will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek or Gentile, since the same Lord is all, is rich to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a witness? And how can they witness unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." Jesus said his yoke was easy and is easy, and his burden was light. That burden of witnessing the gospel with our life and our words is ours. Not as a suggestion, but as a command. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, prepared for the work of God which he has given before we were born again. That's pretty impressive. Verses 14 and 15 in this passage, and verse 17, lays out the legality of our call as Christians. If we are true believers, then we will live and verbally witness the gospel of salvation to others. This is not the job of just the pastor and maybe a few called missionaries. It's the job of every believer. Who's responsible for a church to grow? The pastor? No. Every person that is part of, whether member or regular attender, every person that's part of that local body is responsible for its growth. When we get discouraged, we love to pass the buck to anybody and everybody else. But let's not be discouraged. Let's realize what the Bible tells us, that we are to be the gospel, not just in life, but in word, to our community, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family. I love to fish. I do. I love fishing. I love to get out on the water. And since I've been in Virginia, I have really grown to love river fishing. Now, I grew up lake fishing and ocean fishing on the pier and on the surf. Rarely could afford out in a boat, so pier and the surf. I loved that. I loved it. And I thought there was nothing better, but I'll be honest with you. Get me out on a river. I like wading, and I love being in a kayak and just fishing. I love it. But you know one thing? And some of you talked to me about this. I would not call myself a fisherman. I wouldn't. You know why? Because I don't take time to study fishing, to read about it. I don't take time to learn, and I don't really have time to do trial and error when I'm out there. So I love to fish, so I do pull my tackle out of the closet, and I do throw my line in the water. But I'll tell you right now, if I get a decent sized fish, now small fish, I think just about anybody can catch small fish, right, Bill? Anybody can catch a small fish. But I'm telling you what, if I catch a big one, now for you that fish bass, you'll know this isn't that big, but for me, if I can get a 2-pound bass on, largemouth bass, man, I'm ecstatic. Because I know it was just by dumb luck that I got myself a nice big fish. I'll sit there and go, oh, I know the trick now. And I try it 100 more times, I don't catch another thing. But I at least get my tackle out. I at least throw my line in. I catch the fish. You see, we're not commanded to go fishing in the rivers for fish. We're commanded to go fishing in our communities, our neighborhood, with our friends and our family, to fish for the souls of humankind, to be part of that work of God of reconciling humankind to Himself. You see, I'm not even saying study, learn at this point. Hear me out. I'm not saying become an amateur fisherman for men. I'm saying let's just get our tackle out of the closet and throw a line in. Let's just get our tackle out of the closet, throw our line in, and Jesus may allow us to have, we'll call it, some dumb luck and be blessed just for doing that much. The problem is, let's be honest, so many of us, we call ourselves Christians and we keep our tackle in the closet. Right? Come on, let's be honest. The tackle of our testimony. Let's be honest, when's the last time you shared your testimony, maybe of salvation or something that God has done for you, to someone that you questioned whether they knew Jesus or not? When's the last time? A day? A week? A month? Half a year? A year? Two? 5? 10? Never? Last time when I was baptized? When you get the tackle out? When's the last time we said, hey, God loves you? He tells us that in John 3:16. Even if you don't know any more than that. I mean, we have some tackle. It might just be a bobber and a hook. But you know what? A gold hook with no worm can still catch a fish. And then, though, we get the tackle out. And guess what? Let's get to church. Let's get to church. And I'm going to do my best. I promise I will do my best to bring what the Holy Spirit lays on my heart from His Word to help equip you. But you'll need more than just Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. You'll need to be, seriously, if you're going to get serious about fishing, loving people, loving Jesus, that is, you'd be at Sunday school. Try to make time, if at all possible. We have Bible study at Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Try to make some time for that. Possibly in the future, we're going to be making some other times available for some Bible study. Avail yourself to some, and you know, listen, I talked to Tommy Thompson, talked to me. If you want to maybe avail yourself to some good preachers that are on television that are going to steer you right. Don't listen to any and all, because I'm going to tell you, some of them aren't going to steal you. Some of them won't steer you right. But there are some good ones out there. Read some books. There's all kinds. I can give you suggestions.
You'll gain more tackle. You can become more of a serious fisherman. But let's just start by telling people our testimony. The blessings of Jesus ourselves, like King David expressed. He expressed what was in his heart in Psalm 40, verses 8 through 10. He said this, "I delight to do your will, my God. Your instruction lives within me. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed. As you know, Lord, I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I didn't conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly." How about us? Let's open our mouths about Christ. When a person is truly redeemed by Jesus and has humbled themselves to Him as Lord and Commander of their life and eternity, then how can that person be quiet about it? I say, let's shout it from the rooftop. As long as we, the individuals of Zora Baptist Church, practice being fishers of men in our daily lives. That is, let's just get the tackle we have out. Let's not keep it in the closet. I was just talking about not hiding our light, wasn't I? You see, we are to let that light shine. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way," Jesus says, "let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Is your light shining? Is it shining, okay, with your family? Is it shining with your friends, with your neighbors, with your community? Would people be able to point and say, "I met them, and you know what? They know Jesus." Would they be able to say that without guessing? Are we going to be like David that says, "I can't be silent, but I have to proclaim, Lord, your righteousness"? We are not given to fear. That's not from God. Fear creates discouragement. That's not from God. That's Satan trying to make us ineffective. The bottom line is, let's get our tackle out. Let's be purposeful. Whatever tackle we have, let's use it to love people, to loving Jesus. How do we grow Zora Baptist Church? How do we see more coming? Because we live it and speak it. That is the gospel of Jesus. When we do that and not wait for someone else to do it, we'll start seeing something happen right here. I hope you'll do that with me. Again, Monday, I'm going to be up at the Exxon, 11:30 to 1. Any of you that'd like to come and meet people from our community with me, you're welcome to join me. There'll be some other things I'm hoping that can occur. But it's going to take all hands on deck to be able to let this community know that we care about them. We care about their eternity. Please pray with me. Holy God, I thank you for this time and your word. I thank you for the challenge you've given me. And therefore, I know you've given this body to get the tackle out of the closet, to let our light shine in our world, that is our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, within our community, to unashamedly be fishers of men. And right now, Lord, it might just be like when I go fishing. It might be just dumb luck when someone hears what we say or watches what we do. And And they want to know about Jesus. Of course, we know that's not has anything doesn't have anything to do with luck. We know that the Holy Spirit had drawn that person and chose to bless us for at least getting a tackle out by allowing us to be a part of their story. Help us, Lord. Keep us from discouragement. Satan, you have no business with us. We belong to Jesus. And may we go about your business, Jesus, loving people to loving Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.